Today, we're going to continue our series in the book of James. As you know, the theme has been living out our faith. Last week, Pastor Dan talked about trials from first part of James, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18, and how trials really produces patience, endurance, produces character in the individual. And Pastor Dan went over about the confusion about trials. Many people think, God tempts us. God doesn't tempt us. It's Satan who tempts us. But God often uses these trials, the difficulties that we go through in our lives to refine us, to be better as Christians. And so today what we're going to do is look at the next section of the book of James in verses 19 to 27. I'm going to read to you the scripture. And before we do, let's pray. Lord, as we open up your word, may the thoughts and meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. And Father, what is not of you, may we not remember, but what is of you, may we take it to heart. Remember the word and be transformed by the word. So speak, Lord, through your Bible and help us to be transformed by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to read to us, James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So as we look at this passage, the main theme that James is talking to us about is do it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just hear it. Do what the Word of God says. And what we need to know is that the Bible is the Word of God, and it is an account of who God is. It shares God's plan for us. It talks from the beginning of Genesis, where God created the world and human beings in the image of Him so that we can have a relationship with Him. But we broke the relationship with God by disobeying Him. And the Bible talks about God's plan of salvation, restoring that broken relationship with us. And it starts out with our relationship with Abraham. And Abraham and his descendants becoming the new covenant with God, the people of Israel. And because they failed God, God then comes Himself through the line of Abraham to become a man, Jesus. Coming to this world, proclaiming the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom, healing, casting out evil, and bring forth a plan of salvation, ultimately which leads to Him to die on the cross for us and resurrects from the dead so that we can have life. And this is what the Word of God is about. It is about God's plan for us, and it's very powerful. The Word of God has the power to convict, transform, save lives, and change people's lives. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 says this: "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." God's word is living and active. It convicts us of our sinfulness. It's a power that enables to judge our intentions of our hearts. And it is essential in everything that we do. What's interesting is the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalms 119, and it pertains to the Word of God. Why was it so long? And the reason why it's so long is the writer, David, saw that it's so important in all our day-to-day living. It has 22 stanzas, that is after the Hebrew alphabet. It has 176 verses in it. And let me just read you how David sees this being relevant in all aspects of life, in everything that we do. He said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way you walk in the law of the Lord." And in the same psalm, the psalmist expresses his deepest desire, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." He expressed his affection, "Oh, I love the law." He expressed his greatest happiness from the word of God. "I rejoice in the way of my testimonies as such as in all riches." In other words, he found everything in the word of God. Psalms 119:30 says this, "I have chosen the way of the faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws." So here, David has set his heart on the law of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 161b says, "My heart trembles at your word." God speaks to the scriptures. The psalmist here says, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." Everything in it is true. And he summed it up with this commitment: "I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes, always even to the end." So the psalmist is committed to hear the word of God. He loves the word of God. He sees the relevancy of the word of God. And James knows that it is really important for us and challenges us to take the word of God in all our aspects of our lives. And because of this, he's challenging us to be a doer of the word. And there's two components I want to share with you today: the way we accept the word of God and how we live out the word of God. Your attitude towards the word of God will determine how you live out your Christianity. Your attitude towards the word of God will determine how you live out to be a doer of the word. And the first step is to take the word of God as being important. There's an importance to it. It takes a priority in our lives, and it is very serious. And the way we're serious about it is our goal is not just to know it, but to practice it. And so if you're ever going to practice it, you have to take it very seriously, listening to it, reading it intently. And this is the reason why when you look at Mark chapter 4:24, it says, "And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard measure, it will be measured to you. More will be given to you besides." Luke chapter 8 says, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has to him, more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks, he shall be taken away from him." Notice here, the phrase is take care. Take care of what you listen to. And the reason why it's so important is we need to look at it with attentiveness. And it's interesting, in verse 19, James says this, "Take note of this." A very similar phrase, "Take note of this, pay attention to this." And when he talks about take note of this, he's reminding us that you have been saved by the grace of God. He's reminding the church, by the grace of God, you were saved and you were transformed by the power of the word of God. And it is a guide note in how you should live as a Christian, so take care. And so there's principles in how we, that is essential in how we receive the word of God. Notice here in verse 19, it says, "Let everyone be quick to hear." Now, some of us take this verse out of context. We often think about how we hear people. But in reality, this is in reference to the word of God. Be quick to hear the word of God. In Greek, literally means be quick in hearing. And so if you're going to be quick in hearing, there's this sense of enthusiasm to hear the word of God. It's more or less, if you know something's really important, or if we know that someone really wants to share with us that it's really important, we don't want to say we're busy. We want to be quick in listening to what the person has to say. And what James is telling the church is be quick, be enthusiastic. At any moment when you hear the word of God, take every opportunity to listen to it. And then, so that's the first principle, how we receive the word of God. The second principle is be slow to speak. Now, a lot of us think, again, out of context, be quiet, don't say too much. What this text is talking about in verse 19 is how we speak the word of God. Those of us who prepare a sermon, or those of us who interpret the passages from the word of God, be slow to speak. Why is James saying be slow to speak? The reason why he's talking about being slow to speak is you need to meditate on the Word of God, you need to study the Word of God, and you need to think about the Word of God and how it applies to you. So instead of coming to a quick conclusion of what the Word of God says, be slow to speak, meditate on it, think through it. If you look at 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, if you ever want to be slow in speaking the word of God, you need to handle the truth in a right way. So James is very deliberate. He's talking about being slow in presenting the word of God. And so it's just like what we say. And those who don't know how to handle the word of God, don't know how to bridle their tongue. That's mentioned in verse 26. And so be slow to it. But the third principle, so the first principle we talked about, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, but slow to anger. What is this reference about? It's about how the word of God sometimes, when you hear it, can be very offensive to people. Why? Because it's righteousness that goes against the unrighteousness. And therefore, when Stephen was speaking the word of God, it made people very angry. So the word anger is from the Greek word, which means a deep-seated resentment. It is not an outburst. It is not dumas. It is not some kind of explosion where you lose your temper. This is a deep-seated resentment. So when it talks about slow to anger, what James is talking about is the word of God can offend you, but before you get really mad at it, think about what it says. And if you're angry, it has convicted your heart, because the word of God's objective is to create righteousness in our hearts. If you look at Acts chapter 7, verse 57, when the people heard Stephen talk about the word of God, it says, but they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. Why? Because it offended them to hear the truth. And so when James talks about the word of God, it can cause people and it can provoke people to anger toward what it says. And the reason why we need to ask is, why does it do that? Verse 20 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. What is verse 20 saying? It answers the question why it makes people angry, because the word of God produces righteousness in our hearts. So when righteousness clashes with unrighteousness, of course there's tension. Who would like to hear to say to us, you're sinning, especially according to the word of God? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt control your anger. If you hear all that, sometimes it's very offensive because we don't want to hear it. But the word of God clashes against our consciousness, especially our unrighteousness, and its purpose is to produce righteousness in our hearts. So be slow to anger. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's the principle. Now let's look at the method of how we receive the word of God. So principle, when I talk about principle, I'm talking about the laws. What are, the laws in conditions and how we receive the word of God? The method is talking about when we hear the word of God, how do we prepare ourselves to receive the word of God? How do we practice the method of receiving the word of God? And the first thing is we need to accept the word of God with purity. Verse 21, Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So James urges us to put aside filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. Sin hinders us from receiving the word of God. It hinders us from the work of the word that transforms us. And Peter knows this. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So rid yourself. So what he's talking about is get rid of all impurity, things that causes evil, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. Instead, crave milk like a baby craves the mother's milk. That's how we need to crave for it. And when he talks about rid yourself, you cannot rid yourself of this kind of attitude unless you have the power of God and your cooperation to say, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of all this evil. It's hypocrisy, my envy, my slander. It takes us willing to, and by the power of God, we can get rid of that. And this is what Peter was trying to say. Rid yourself. And the word can be received and produce righteousness, which God wants to produce in our lives. But sin has to be dealt with. So the word rid is a verb which comes to report, it refers to taking off your clothes. Like in agrarian society, people would be dirty. And you know, even today, it's very hot. When you go home, I bet all of us will take our clothes off and put on shorts and T-shirts and try to be cool by the air conditioner. So this is kind of like getting rid of, taking rid of. Now, when I talk about rid yourself, it's in reference to dirty clothes. So, if you worked in the farm and you're really dirty, the first thing you do is get rid of your clothes, put it in the washer, and take a nice shower. One commentator writes this way, all filthiness, rupia, is a word used for dirty clothes. It's a word used for filth and scum that gets on the body when you're out in the dirt and you're working. And it came metaphorically to refer to moral vice, to inequality, sinful filth. But it's a very interesting word. The root word, rufios, is used in the writings of hypocrites and Clement to refer to wax in your ears, to wax in your ears. So what it's talking about is, you know, hypocrisy. Often we have wax in our ears. We don't listen. We don't, and get rid of those wax in your ears. Listen to the word of God and really practice it. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't want to be Christian is because of our hypocrisy. We don't practice what we say. And James is really serious that if you want to practice what you say, get rid of this sinfulness. Romans 13, 12 says this, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Is that an amen? Amen. Basically what he's saying is getting rid of all the remaining wickedness. The word evil is wickedness. It includes not only evil act, but the evil intent, the evil thought, the evil heart. When it translates all that remains, that's actually the term overflowing. Overflowing, all abundance, all amount of evil that are still there. Get rid of it. And so the first thing is get rid of those evil, the sinfulness in our lives. But the second thing is the method is humbly accept the word of God. Now, when we talk about humbly accepting the word of God, it is a heart and an attitude to know that the word of God is better than anything that I think. That the word of God is the ultimate authority, and the word of God convicts me, and the word of God is a transformational agent. Now, one commentator wrote this way, the word humility really has the idea humble, gentle, meek, and willing. So notice, humility is not just accepting it as out of humbleness, but also and gentleness, but or meekness, but it's willing to be teachable. Is willing to say, there's something wrong in my life. I need to change. You know, G.K. Chesterton in the old times was a philosopher and a writer, and he said this, what is wrong with the world? Me. It's me, sir. And often we need to look at ourselves and see what's wrong in our lives and get rid of that. This is part of what we call humility. And, you know, God wants us to do that. Now, verses 19 to 21, the first part really emphasizes the importance of God and the way we receive the word. We need to be slow to hear. I mean, slow to present the word of God, quick to listen, and slow to anger toward the word of God. And the mandate that God has for us is to love the word of God in our lives, receive it with purity, get rid of sin, and humbly accept it. So, how do we become a doer of the Lord, of the word? How do we live out the word of God? James emphasizes the importance of the word and now turns to the important aspect. What is the mark of a true Christian is being a doer of the word. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Be a doer of the word. It's not just hearing the word. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough to just listen, but live out what you listen. You need to do what the word says. And the word is powerful to transform us and sanctify us. And your change will come when you start practicing what it says. A person who just listens and don't do anything really deceives himself. So the word deceive is used in mathematics to refer to a miscalculation. They miscalculated. They were self-deceiving through fallacious reasoning. So James urges us to do what the word of God says. Now, then he goes on describing the hearer and the doer. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, it's like someone who looks at the face in a mirror. Now, during the times of James, they didn't have the modern day mirrors that we have. What they had was a metal that reflected one's face. It wasn't really clear. It was usually a bronze metal that people used to look at themselves. They didn't have glass mirrors until the 13th century. So during that time, they polished bronze with a combination of copper and tin. Now, wealthy people often use silver, and really wealthy people use gold as a mirror. Now, these mirrors were not perfect, but even though it was not accurate, people used these mirrors to look at themselves. Now, when James refers to the word mirror, what he's talking about is the word of God. It's in reference to the word of God. And in verse 24, it says, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So when we approach the word of God, the listener is just looking at a mirror, but does forget how he looks or how she looks, and don't take it really seriously. And what James wants us to be is not just a listener, but a doer. So what is a doer? Verse 25, he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Notice here, looking at it intently. A doer is a person, as I said before, has an attitude to look at it very intently, to see how does the word of God change my life? How could it transform me? It's having an attitude, but a willingness to be transformed by the word of God. And he remembers how he looked like, every single detail. And that's what the word of God is. And it is calling us to action. What are we going to do about it? When you hear the word of God, we need to really show what we do in our action. Verses 26 to 27, it says here, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The ones who really listen and act upon it are the ones who really practice this faith. But the one who doesn't, notice here in verse 26, they're the ones who bridle their tongues. It shows that they really don't have a relationship with God because there's no action, there's no backbone for what they say. And the Word of God is calling us to action. What is it? To share what we say in our speech in a discerning way. To care for people, the orphans and the widows. Are we doing this? Are we caring for the orphans and the widows? And we're committed to a holy living. And this is what the call of action means, that religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Those who really practice the Word of God will allow the Word of God to transform us. And that's why James is saying to the people in the church of Jerusalem, be a doer of the Word. And the reason why he's calling the church to be a doer is because there's so much hypocrisy. I would admit, I'm a hypocrite too. What is God really wanting us? We're not perfect, but all that God wants us to do by being a doer of the Word is doing our best, our darn hardest, to live the life that God has called us to live. And I think that's really important to understand, that God wants us to live the life that He wants us to live. And God will challenge you, even living the holy life. Just even this week, this happens to me numerous times. When I go to the bank, and I was writing a deposit for my bank, and the teller misread and put another zero. So instead of having a low number, that zero made it really big. And my conscience was saying, let it go, you'll make some money, this is okay. But God was convicting, again, the Word of God, tell the truth, be honest. I told her, you put that wrong. And she goes, no, I think it's right. And I said, no, you put it wrong. You got to cross out that zero. Look at the check carefully. She goes, oh, you're right. And I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus, that practices everything right. But the Word of God, when we take it seriously, God will often challenge you to practice it. Sometimes we fail, but sometimes we triumph. And with that, God will build us up and change our character for Him.